Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. What do you reckon? Scrubbing brush, some binoculars, and most important of all, a few years ago somebody gave me this. It's a little compass. Are you ready? Are you ready to span the horizons? To scrub the decks? And to, thanks Laura, to work out where we're actually going? I look a little silly. Preaching props. I'll leave that one there until I need it. Are you ready? Are you ready to launch out, to hoist the sails, to find the wind of God and just be propelled into the year? Because it's that kind of season, isn't it? And this is a moment for us as a church to say, let's go. Let's hoist the sails. Let's get on the way. So let me pray. Jesus, as we just come around your word and dream and plan into the horizons, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your guidance, for your protection, and your energy and your fuel. So, Lord, just come and stir us and inspire us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been thinking a lot about explorers and launching out, and obviously around Australia today, you know, you start to read accounts of different explorers. You know, Captain Cook, despite any kind of, I guess, just trying to, as a society, we're working out, what do we think about that? But if you cast that all aside and just think of the incredible voyage that the early explorers did, incredible. I mean, these guys, for 3 years or more, set sail. They said goodbye to their family and their friends, and these voyages were often dangerous. Often, you know, ended up in the ship being wrecked or them being killed in some island or, you know, but they had incredible missions that they went out to do. And so the Endeavour, you know, Captain James Cook said it was a three-year journey on a ship that wasn't even designed to sail the high seas. It was a cargo hauler. It was designed to carry lots of stuff because that's what you had to do when you were exploring. And so it was a difficult thing to steer. But they set out nonetheless, and they had their captain with them. They literally were to chart new lands and see if these lands existed or not. And they had a botanist on board to explore all the amazing creatures and plants out there. And they had 3 years' worth of provisions. Can you imagine that? Pre-refrigeration. Apparently, Lisa's is going to even tow some of the meat behind them to salt it up and preserve it. Apparently, in Cook's ship, they had 17 sheep. This is in the hulls of the Endeavour, along with 25 crew. 17 sheep, 4 or 5 fowls, 4 Tahitian hogs, 4 or 5 ducks, an English boar, and a sow with her litter. Now, just imagine setting sail with all that stuff on board, a little bit like Noah's Ark. 25 people, the captain, lieutenants, midshipmen, carpenters, of course, in case you got into trouble, sailmakers, gunners, in case there were dangerous people out there, a cook, astronomers, a surgeon, naturalists, botanists, artists, that was the film crew of the day to kind of document everything. And a lot of these guys were volunteers. That they weren't even paid to do this. And off they went to explore the world and set sail. Just imagine. And it wasn't just James Cook. There were all kinds of crazy explorers back in that era just trying to find out the known world. And what is our world? So I just think that's a great analogy for us as we think front and center, setting sails. And I love this picture here. There's no sails there. It's like a ship in the early dawn. It's waiting to go. There's no motors. There's no oars. We need the sails. But of course, you need a direction. You need to know where you're going. What's your purpose? Why are you doing that? And so here's a few things that I've been thinking about with church. And actually, I feel like God has laid this on my heart for the year. I've been praying into the year. It's, Lord, where are you taking us, good ship C3 Bathurst, with our captain on board, Jesus? He gets a sleepy occasionally in the boat. We've got to wake him up. But he is a noble captain. We have charts. We have ancient charts, the Word of God. We've got all these things in place. But what is our mission? What is our task? And this is the scripture I sense that the Lord is directing us into this year. And it's from Colossians 1, 28. It says, He is the one we proclaim. He, Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. That's Paul. He's writing to the Colossians church. He's saying, this is what I've done. This is what I believe in. And I think if we grabbed those two verses for this year, it would be an incredible vision for us. Something to keep us focused, to keep us on the horizon. Where are we going? Well, this is these two verses that are going to keep us directed as we scrub the decks and keep this thing moving. So let's go into those scriptures a little bit in detail. So Colossians 1:28, this is the goal. This is the direction. This is where this ship is sailing to. It says, He is the one we proclaim. It's Jesus. It's not anything else. There's nothing more important than Jesus. It's only in Jesus do we find true salvation. It's only in Jesus we will receive eternal life. Jesus actually is the meaning of the universe. He is the universe. He has created everything. And so when you think about all the other causes and all the other things we give ourselves to, and some very good causes and things, Jesus surpasses them all. We proclaim Jesus, not politics, not science, not anything else but Jesus. That's the site that we set our church on. They're the binoculars we get out there. And it says that we admonish and teach everyone with all wisdom. Admonish. Admonish is a word which kind of where you chide someone about not eating vegetables. It's like it's a directive. It's a word we don't really use so much. But a directive that says you really should eat those vegetables. You really should go to the gym. You really should be thinking about superannuation. Whatever it is. But it's when somebody who's got experience in something goes, you know what, I've been there, I've done that. You really should be thinking about your financial future right now. That's that sense of admonishing. It's helping somebody to actually rise up in some area of their world. It's not just a little encouragement, or we're not very good at that in our world. We're not very good at sort of teaching and encouraging, but you know what? To say, hey, you really should get involved in church. You really should stick at schooling, you know. That's admonishing. And then it says teaching. It says teaching, instructing day by day. That's why we've built the Life Build Academy, so that we can teach and instruct day by day, moment by moment, and keeps our vision front and center. Why? So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Everyone. Everyone. Everyone here. Everyone is not here. Everyone online. Even everyone who doesn't even know Jesus yet. What an awesome goal to present everyone fully mature in Christ. Can you imagine when you're standing with Jesus, he comes back and all these people fully mature in Christ. I had a role to play with that because I got involved and I helped people in that journey. What an awesome thing to present everyone mature in Christ. There's a vision for us. That's where we're going as a church. Everyone mature in Christ, grown up, raised up, complete. And it says here, the next thing, Actually, let me think about that for a sec. Because we're going on to Colossians 1:29, which is the how. But the direction is important. If you're sailing out in a ship, you want to have some sense of where you're going. If you're going on a long journey, if you're driving to Melbourne, you're going to get out your GPS. If you're going to Sydney, Sam, you'll need your Gregory's. Rosemary, do you have that? Yeah. Rosemary was threatening to give Sam the... Do you know what a Gregory's is? Yeah. When I was a kid, when you went to Sydney, you had a map. And the pages kind of ended, and then it says go to page 47. And so you're driving along, and the person sitting says, oh, quick, 47, look out for Smith Street. Oh, there it was. That, for anyone who doesn't know what they are, that's what a Gregory's is. So as a church, we have a map, we have a guide, we have a direction. But the how is so important. And Paul says, to this end, this is so fun, to this end, to present everyone mature in Christ, he says, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in me. Look at this. It's kind of a mystery. He says, I strenuously contend, or toil or labor, that word means. It means struggle. It actually means to work so you grow weary. It's to push yourself so far that you actually do feel weary. And anyone who's ever been doing anything in life knows that that's what life is like. Your work, your family, your home. Life is not always easy. And sometimes we think that the Christian life should be easy. It's not. There's a lot of scrubbing. There's a lot of contending. There's a lot of personal scrubbing. You don't need to get through that. There's a lot of just, you know, working through things. But Paul says, I strenuously contend. So does that mean that Paul did everything? Does it mean that he wrote everything and he started these amazing churches because of all his energy? No, here's the mystery. He says, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in me. How does that work? He says, I contend, I toil, I struggle so that Christ's power works in me. That's how it works. It's not about your effort, but it is. And it's not about God's ability, but it is. It's about how we capture God's energy. And the sailing ship does that. You think a sailing ship, without the sails up, it's going nowhere. It's pretty. It's sitting there in the dawn. But it's not going anywhere. But you work hard. The crew comes along. It hoists the sails. Get the rudder. They get the steering, and the wind starts blowing, and suddenly, because they've worked so hard to build this thing and to hoist all the sails, suddenly the wind comes, and now you're moving with the power that's outside of the ship. Now all that hard work is gathering pace because there's an energy outside of the ship that's fueling it along. That's how it works. So it's hard work hoisting sails and cleaning the ship and getting the navigation right. But it's not about that makes it go. It's about capturing the wind. And when you capture the wind, those things are incredible. I mean, that's how they sailed. It's amazing, isn't it? No diesel motors, no steam. Would you do that? Would you leave England for 3 years in that? Continually getting shipwrecked. Stories of cooks. Anyway, I think it's phenomenal. The risk and the adventure and the faith that required. But what a great picture, both for our life and for the church. So here's just wrapping up. Just a quick little message today. How do we work to capture the wind of the Holy Spirit? How do we strenuously engage in our work so that it's not just about our toil and effort? We're not just sitting here waiting for God to move. It's both. We're toiling like Paul, but we're waiting on God to do it. Those things work together. Here's two little thoughts on how that works. Number one is together. together. This is not a solo yacht race, and nor is it a passenger ship. This is a sailing ship. No passengers, just crew. It's not just solo, it's not just one person. It's all of us together. I love Romans 12, verse 4. He says, "For as in one body we have many members." That's us. That's the church. We're joined together. It says the members do not have the same function. Some guys climb the mast. Some guys scrub the decks. Some guys guide the ships. Okay? But we are one body in Christ. We have individually members one of another. We are joined together. We have gifts that differ, verse 6, according to the grace given to us. So let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Everybody has different gifts, different abilities, different backgrounds, different passions. But you put them on the ship, and you've got the botanist, and the sketcher, and the sailor maker, and the carpenter, and the medicine guy. And suddenly it all works together. Upping things and getting the sails up. Find your fit and jump in. Get on board this ship. And you will find that the Holy Spirit's winds flow in a really powerful way that you could never do on your own. It's called the church. Paul's talking about the church, the body of Christ. And the second thing here is to go beyond. I love that thought of adventure. I love that thought of, we don't really know what this year is going to be like. We don't really know, you know, what kind of interruptions or stormy seas we're going to pass through, or reefs sticking out and surprising us. There's all kinds of dangers out there. But I love the adventure of faith. And Paul talks about that. Paul's a man of faith. Remember Abram? Genesis 12, God says, go to a land that I will show you. It's like, just start walking. Just start going. And as you go, God will guide. And that idea of adventure together, but going beyond what we ever thought we could do, somehow fuels us and propels us. I mean, I don't know who invented the ship, but what a silly, crazy idea. Like, I know. Let's stick a big sheet up there. And see if it powers us to the ends of the world. Who thought of that? It's like the early guys in their aeroplanes. You know, I know. Let's get a really flimsy structure and some little motor and spinning thing, and let's see how far we can go. But where would we be without those people? Having a shot, having a go. Brad and Sarah, you're having a go. I love it. Youth are going to thrive. Because you're going, you know what? Let's have a go. Colin, I love it. You're having a go. This team is awesome. I love the guys who are heading up our teams. Let's be a church that has a go. If it doesn't work, we're actually not going to be shipwrecked. All right, it's pretty safe. We're not going to be stuck in Tahiti. But let's be a church that just, you know what? Yeah. That's a good idea. Maybe it isn't, but let's have a go anyway. Let's be a church that says, hey, been thinking about this. What do you reckon? Yeah, let's have a go. But let's do it together. It's not a solo thing, but let's get a few people. You know what? It could be a real blessing to this part of society. You know, we could form this, and I don't know. I love the area of dreaming and ideas. And so I just want to pray. I can grab the musos up on stage as we finish. I want to pray for that Holy Spirit of initiative and innovation, but that we together can really have a go under Jesus. Jesus is our captain. Jesus is the one who's guiding us, but he loves the realm of faith. So would you stand with me? We're going to just sing in a second. But I want you to find excitement about your year ahead. I don't know what you're facing. It might be a new school. It might be a new job. You might be looking ahead and some dates that are in your diary that you're not too sure about. A little nerve-wracking. All of us have things, if we scan into the year, we might go, oh, I'm not so sure about that, or it might make us a bit nervous. Right now, I want you to close your eyes and invite Jesus into your year. He is the captain of your soul. He is the one who will guide you. He'll help you navigate it. He's got a good compass. You won't allow you to fall. And just trust him. In a sense, entrust your year to him. To Jesus, I just entrust all that's ahead. Maybe you're feeling pressure about things. Maybe you're anxious. Entrust him. Jesus, you haven't been this way before, but Jesus has. He knows the end from the beginning. Trust your year to him. Trust the people in your world to him. Trust your dreams and desires to him. He hears them. He's made them. Trust him. And then invite him in right now. And say, Jesus, come in and help me dream. Help me dream about my future. Creating things, moving things. Dream about blessing other people. Building things. Dream about new horizons. Dream about adventure. Dream about risk and faith. And dream about together. Grabbing a few people. Hey, let's do this together. Let's have a go together. Let's see if we can hoist our sails and watch for the wind of the Spirit to blow through. Give your year to him. And trust your year to him. Set your sails. It's going to be a great year. Holy Spirit, come touch each person right now. Fill them with faith. Fill them with optimism. Fill them with hope. Fill them with a can-do possibility thinking. Fill them with that sense of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I can, as I step out, Christ strengthens me and anything is possible. Holy Spirit, no small dreams tonight. Big dreams, big visions, big futures, and a great sense of faith stirring that wind, Holy Spirit. And if you haven't met Jesus before, you need to. Just call out to him and say, Jesus, come into my life. I want you in my world. I want you steering my ship. I want you navigating my course. I'm going to give it all over to you in Jesus' name. And you know what will happen? He's going to come in, make his home in you, and your life will go from strength to strength, and you'll have the greatest adventure. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.